Hey, and welcome to CryptoCurrents, where we interview and discuss the most interesting projects, people, and events happening in Web3. We're your hosts, Brett Lindstrom
and Jack Baca,
the founders of Fish and Chips. We're a creative studio that's delivering compelling design, branding, and community support for whatever your blockchain, crypto, or AI project needs. Today, we're talking about one of the most controversial, one of the most fun, and one of the most interesting areas of crypto: meme coins.
Meme coins.
What's up, Jack?
How could we not talk about meme coins
right,
when it's been all that anyone can talk about for, I don't know, like,
it's like
however
it's
long
the
this
meta.
Cycle.
It is the meme of the cycle. It really is.
Like, memes have memed themselves into the staple of what this cycle is running on.
And even like the AI narrative, which is huge,
totally.
Right? But it's funneling into meme coins because no one wants to launch like a legitimate AI project because it takes a ton of research and development. So they just call their meme coin something AI and it's off to the races. But hey, like, should we talk about like the origins of meme coins for our listeners so that they kind of like we can ease you guys into it? Because it's not like... they've been around for a while, like a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like meme coins have been around for a long time, but I think like a lot of people maybe forget the origins of where they came from or like how they even started. So maybe Brett, you can start with some of the basics because you're a prolific degen, much more than I am.
Like a degenerate. Like meme coins started almost like 10 years now when a group of devs, they decided to like create basically a joke about Bitcoin because Bitcoin is slow. It's not that fast. There are downfalls to Bitcoin when it comes to like cash payments and like anonymity and stuff like that. So like a bunch of people started just forking Bitcoin during the ICO era and creating new tokens on ETH, but trying to, you know, basically create new, faster versions of Bitcoin. You had like Redcoin, Peercoin was one for ETH. And like, it was just a bunch of different stuff that was happening. But among all of this stuff came just a joke of a coin. A couple devs got together and they're like, we're just going to create this stuff. Like, crypto's dumb. And they created this coin called Dogecoin with this like really cool Shiba Inu dog. And he's just like, you know, on the coin. And it took off. So I remember back in like the day, you know, like it was worth 0.002 cents. And it was like, you know, that was around 2017. So, you know, Doge is really where everything started. It's the king of the meme coins. And so, you know, during COVID, Elon started to pump the coin. He said that it was like his stimulus package to the everyday person. And that's why, I don't know if you heard this. Did you hear this?
Yeah, I did. I saw it.
Yeah, he was like, this is my stimulus. Yeah, he was like, this is my stimulus package to the public because they need help during COVID. And so he just like pumped it to the moon. It went from like 0.05 to what was it, 70 cents? Like, it got high, and more on that later. And, you know, I have a pretty crazy past with Doge. I had a lot of Doge, like a lot of Doge. I stored it on Cryptopia because Cryptopia actually had trading pairs, which is Doge/BTC, Doge/ETH, like Doge/, it was like the staple pair. So that I bought a bunch of it because that was like at that time I could only figure out how to use that pair, or that's what they required you to do. I'm still not sure which one it was because I was so dumb back then. And so it was on Cryptopia platform and I had a crap ton. Like, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars worth of Doge at this point. It would be worth that. And it was worth, you know, a fraction of that then, but it was still enough to like buy an island. And, you know, I couldn't figure out, like, I didn't understand crypto a crazy amount. So I couldn't figure out like how to get it off, where to send it, what to do. Like, there was always like a complication or a bug. Fast forward to now, Cryptopia got hacked, drained basically. So I don't have an island.
Everybody has the story like
so
this.
Doge. The curse continued too, because I was working with a guy who was also super, he wanted my help in like figuring out what to buy. By the way, don't do that. But he wanted help figuring out what to buy. So like I showed him, like, you can trade on leverage on, I think it was Femex at that time. And we were like, it was when Elon was going to go on SNL. And so the curse of Doge continued because we put $6,000 of his money he put 6K of his money in. Careful how to phrase that. He put 6K of his money in, and I like helped him figure out how to use the software. And so he made a mistake, and it went pumping, and he made like 15, 16, 17,000, and then it dumped. Like, you remember how it dumped during that thing? And like, he lost like pretty much all of it. So that sucked.
Oh my God.
But so Doge and I have a storied relationship, a cursed relationship, and I don't own any anymore for good reason. So,
Doge is the OG.
Yeah, dude, it's the OG. And then like Shiv came along and Pepe and all that stuff, and they're like new blue chips. But all right, so Jack, like, I gotta be honest with you. Like, I don't know where your head's at with meme coins. Like, we've vibed over all sorts of stuff. We've talked about them. But where's your head at with them? Do you like them? Do you not like them? Where do you sit on this meme coin universe?
That's true. We haven't really talked about, like, where I stand with meme coins, probably because I'm, like, quietly losing money on my own. Like, I like to, like, suffer in silence. And when I do yield, I'm like not yielding that much. Like, I know people who are like cross leveraging all sorts of things, so exposed to so much risk, and I'm just not, I'm not there yet. So like for me, meme coins, I think, like, let me rewind a little bit and talk a little bit more about what meme coins mean to me as someone who is working in crypto. I think they're fun first and foremost. Like, there's the age old rule, like, if you laugh, you buy. And I like aping into that. But I understand that a lot of people are just like scamming, and there's a lot of people who are losing a lot of money, and like, so there's like definitely a bad side to meme coins. And like, I feel like if anything's going to get regulated, it's going to be this part really quickly, because a lot of it's just like straight gambling. But in general, I think like it's one of the most beautiful parts of crypto, and not to get poetic about it, but it's it is decentralized money. Like, it is like what decentralized programmable money, which is like something that took a long time to get there. And of course, like, humans are going to find the most crazy way to exploit it as soon as possible. But like, that means I can do it too. So I can yield a little bit here and there. But I have friends that have changed their life, or like gotten a significant chunk of change from meme coins. Those people usually have a really strong heart and constitution. I do not, because it's usually a roller coaster to get to that yield.
Dude. Yeah, it's
and
nuts.
I that's why I think you're more of a prolific degen than I am, because like, I'll ride a little bit up and down. Like, I'm not putting in more than I want to, you know, lose, because I assume every time I put money into a meme coin, then it's just like all gonna be gone.
It's gone.
If I yield anything, then I'm like super happy. But if not, then I'm like, well, we had a fun ride. I have a little adrenaline boost from it. But so meme coins in general, like, to summarize, like, for me, meme coins are like a really essential, beautiful part of crypto. Am I like participating at my most possible way into it? Probably not. But am I doing it a little bit here and there, trying to find alpha here and there? Yeah, I am.
Yeah, that's what's up. Hell yeah. Now, that's the responsible way to do it. I mean, you can still hit, you know, you can still hit, like,
I mean,
on Pepe.
Sometimes I do.
You know my Pepe story? I put 70 in Pepe, 70, not 70K, $70 into Pepe. That shit is worth 10K right now. It went up to 12,000, $70 to $12,000, or $70 to 12K. That's a ton of money. Safe Moon was the other one, the last cycle that like hit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you call that a meme coin though. I mean, it definitely had those qualities. It kind of piloted
Somewhere in between, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of piloted some interesting mechanics as far as tokens are concerned, or at least brought them to light. It was like the splitting of yield. So like, you would hold it and like there would be funds that come back to you just for holding it, you know, like the way that they structured the
mechanics
contracts
and
whatnot, which was really cool. And then like, they had, you know, they started having like nonprofits set up these coins and stuff like that, where like tokens would be deciphered off. And like, I was actually working on a project that didn't do that. It was more like direct. It wasn't like using meme coin mechanics or anything like that. But like, Safe Moon, I remember my biological father and I put in $500, or he put in $1,000 and I put in $500, and it went up to, for him, he got like 21K out of it. There was a 10% tax when you sold, because that's where things went back to the holders. Mm-hmm. And then I put 500 in and I got like 12. I pulled out 12 after the, so like, dude, like these nutty, and then Doge, of course, but I try to forget about that.
Yeah, that's okay. But I mean, like, that's the other thing about meme coins that I think is so like poetic and beautiful, is that some people who are willing to, you know, take that risk, roll that dice, they're sometimes handsomely rewarded. And sometimes they ride the rocket too high.
Yeah.
It starts to fall, and that's okay too. That's pretty normal. But like, I think it's so beautiful that a lot of people can like yield a, you're not really doing anything for it,
yeah.
But yield this kind of like chunk of change, let's call it, that can significantly impact your life, you know, in a very short amount of time. So that's why meme coins are super interesting to me. But maybe since you know a little bit more, we can talk a little bit more about what it takes to launch a meme coin, like where someone even begins in this sort of thing. Because I know there's a lot of different platforms out there, Pump Fun, Clanker, all of these others. Bonsai has an agent out there as well. So what are the sort of ways that people can launch a meme coin? Where do they begin?
Well, there's really two different types of meme coins, right? There's the Pump.Fun kind. And I don't know if you guys know what Pump.Fun is, so I'll explain it a little bit. Basically, what it is it allows you to launch a meme coin in basically seconds. So you just add as much liquidity as you want to into the token pair, and then it will launch your coin for you. Once your coin reaches a certain market cap, it'll move it and migrate it over to Radium, which is the Solana DEX, and people can purchase it there. But a lot of people will purchase it and snipe it. Sniping is when you buy a coin really, really early. There's tools that can do that for you more effectively. You use bribes and things like that to get your transaction the fastest in. And so that's one way to do it, through Pump.Fun or another launcher like that. The second way is the legit way to do it. It's kind of like, you know, like Whiff, Pepe. Pepe's not on Solana, but it's a big, you know, it was a huge meme coin. There's some ones on Base. My name is Brett. There's one called Brett, and it went off. It took off. I think it's in the top 50, 30, something like that. I always thought it would be hilarious if I got rich off of a meme coin called Brett that I didn't launch after like 20 years of just entrepreneurship and like grinding and working 15-hour days. And all of a sudden, I bought a coin with my name, and that's how I became a billionaire. I thought that would be hilarious. So I bought some, and then I sold it before it actually pumped. And, you know, that's okay. So that's the first one, right? The second one, like I said, is where you actually write the smart contract yourself. You put in whale protection, you put in different things, and you actually launch the contract yourself. There's things like Orion Tools that have UIs that allow you to do it. You upload your image, you do this, you do that, and then you launch it with whatever market cap you want to do if you're not a dev. The other way that I'll keep in phase two, we'll call this phase two or type two, you can do all that. So I would say that number two, if you're trying to be a legitimate project and you want your coin to last more than a few days, you want to launch it that way. It's very rare, maybe 0.01% of tokens that launch on Pump.Fun actually hit like top 50 market cap. And so you want to be really conscious of that. There's one called Unicorn Fart Dust that's in the top, I think it's in like the top 200. I bought a little bit of that. That's really cool. It's not a shill. We're not getting paid for that. I just wanted to bring it up because it's a hilarious one.
Obviously, so stuff like Unicorn that. Fart Dust. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it was launched on Solana. So really right now the meta is Solana, right? So you want to be launching on Solana. If you're dropping a meme coin, that could change next week. Base was popular for a little bit, a couple months back, a few months, maybe 6 months, 5 months back. I helped with some stuff on some projects that were launching on Base. It's a little confusing because you had to like, it's an L2. So like people were asking a lot of questions. It's really hard for people to figure out how to do it. So, you know, you want to choose your chain first. And I think that's the first thing that you need to do. And figure out how that ecosystem works. So last cycle, 2020, 2021, that cycle was BNB, right? Binance Coin. So
totally.
Tons and that of was meme because coins.
Yeah. That's because it was the easiest and most accessible one. Like BNB was dominant because it was available everywhere. It had support everywhere.
Yeah. And like BNB, also the fees were lower than Ethereum. And yeah, I mean, it was an interesting time. I liken the meme coin space to the ICO phase, but it's actually had more longevity than the ICO phase because last cycle meme coins started taking off on BNB. So they've been around for a little bit. I think they're just now coming to a crescendo. As I've been sitting here, about 1,000 new coins since we've been on this podcast, 1,000 new coins have been launched. So like that gives you an idea of how many coins are being launched at any given time. So I think, you know, that's a little bit about, you know, kind of the different types, right?
Yeah. And then like Solana is really popular this cycle, obviously, because, well, I've seen Solana. It's so interesting because like I am on TikTok while it's still available in the US. And a lot of these memes, like I think Demure was like one of the first one when this like be very mindful, very demure. And then I went to that creator's site and I was like, oh, my God, there's a Solana address on here for their coin, Demure. So yeah. It's Solana, I'll say, is like really tapped into the youth and really tapped into the memes. Like they're still very relevant and trendy, and it's heavy on the trends because, you know, that's what's popular for the moment. But I really like the fact that Solana is like tapped into the TikTokers and tapped into like the youth because
Chill guy.
It comes from real memes. Yeah. Like, this is funny to me and this is great. And I love to see it because I think it's like opening up possibilities to the younger generation to like get involved and in a really meaningful way. Or they get rugged, whatever. You know, you learn something when you get rugged, hopefully.
Yeah, you learn real fast. Wait, I can lose everything. Yeah. And hopefully it's not a lot. Maybe it's like, you know, like.
Haktua? She also launched a coin. Oh, she got in trouble though.
Yeah, she got Yeah, we're not even dogging her. I actually kind of liked her vibe. She was really fun and playful. I hope
just
she didn't
don't
get destroyed for that. But
this is the problem though when you have inexperienced people like trading in real money and launching coins and things. They don't actually understand the repercussions of like how to do it in a way that
for real.
Everyone else in crypto who already works there kind of knows the rules and like kind of knows what you can and can't do.
Right.
So if you bring someone in from like an influencer standpoint, like, you know, Haley, I forgot Haley Welch.
That's a really
good example. Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't
know. Good example. So like something really, really, really quick on that. So like that's where I think when you're in a different area of the meme coin space, there are different expectations. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's where things get lost a little bit. So it's perfectly acceptable. And for most degens who are meme coin traders, and we're talking about sniping, things like that, like early stuff.
Yeah.
Right. On pump.fun. It is expected that you're going to rug. It's expected. Like that is expected on pump.fun. Type one.
Right. Type
two, you get in trouble for that. You can get arrested like for type two. Type one is just straight up degenerate nonsense. Like, these coins last like 5 seconds, some of them. Some people are just testing the coin when on pump.fun. Like,
yeah, totally.
You know, they launch one, they buy their own supply. You know, you see the DS for or DB for dev buy, and then you see DS right afterwards for dev sell on the chart. They're just testing things out. So like that's kind of more of a space where you can do whatever the hell you want. And it's not like you're breaking the law, so to speak, or breaking any hidden codes. But type two, if you launch those, you're promoting it. You got the Telegram, you got all that stuff. And you do that, if you rug then, that's like
that's
a no-no.
Bad.
Even amongst anyone, it's a no-no.
Totally.
Even the degenerate crowd. So it's hard to tell the two.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of the common mistakes people make so that this podcast can be a resource for anyone interested in launching a meme coin, whether it's type two or type one.
Yeah.
What are some mistakes and how can people avoid them since you have a lot of experience with this?
Yeah. So let's talk about like first off, Jack, let's talk about like the legitimate like type two that we were talking about before, because that's where you really got to put some thought and effort and you know, kind of planning into. So I think the first mistake, let's talk about mistakes. Like you said, I think the first mistake that people kind of make with the type one is like hella cringe tokenomics, like creating creating a $1 trillion supply with like zero distribution. You give yourself 90%, like you forgot anyone can see that on the blockchain. So like, that's a hella genius move, bro. Like, you know, you can't do that. That's part of the what's like makes blockchain interesting. And again, that's type two. So I think another part is not locking liquidity. Like, that's a huge red flag. If you don't lock liquidity, like, one, we know that you're going to probably rug, you know, or maybe you're not and you just don't know to do that. Right. So that's one thing that you want to do. So that's a big one. And then secondly, I think, you know, having stuff not locked, like as far as, you know, not just like the liquidity itself locked, but like the actual token supply that's available to purchase. If you're doing a pre-sale, for example, which I don't believe is illegal in the United States, but is legal in a lot of other places. So just keep that in mind if you're watching this and you're, you know, trying to launch.
Check your local regulations.
Yeah, yeah. Your local meme coin dealer here. One thing that I've seen a lot of projects that have launched, the biggest problem is they'll have like a pre-sale, right? But they won't build the contract with like whale protection. They won't put a limit on how much you can buy. So even like $1,000 buy early on in a pre-sale can cause the whole thing to dump later. So if you have a pre-sale and you don't have any locking, so like none of the supply is locked, the pre-sellers can immediately sell. It's going to rug. You're going to see a red line. You're going to get in trouble if people like are actually paying attention and there's multi-million dollar market caps. You can get in trouble for that. And so that's really important, is to make sure that it's not all going out at once, because people are humans. Like, we're innately kind of messed up at times, right? So they're going to dump. They got in early. Then people just use the community to exit. The early people use the community that pile in afterwards to exit. It's just like any other market. So you want to make sure that liquidity is kind of locked up. The next thing is, and this is the arguably like second most important after that, or more important, because it doesn't even matter if you get to the other thing, is no marketing plan, right? You need to have marketing. You need to, you know, this isn't 2021 Dogecoin. Like, it's not just going to pop off as like part of the ICO like landscape. That's not going to happen. Like, you've got to market it. You've got to have a community. You got to be super active on crypto Twitter. You need to know. This is where people like Hawk2 get in trouble, right? They don't understand the lingo. They don't understand the way that things are built. They don't understand, like, you know, the language of this degen culture. And if you can't speak to it, you're not going to be able to, like, people don't know what shilling is, right? What's a shill? You know, shilling is like promoting the project, right? Jeets, right? People don't understand what jeeting is. Jeeting is selling. It's just selling. Yeah. People don't understand what the chat is. A chat is a dude that's just holding, man. You know that I ain't letting go. I'm chatting this up. Yeah. Chad. Gang, gang. Let's go. You know, like things like that, you know? And, you know, when you're launching the coins, it's really important for you to, like, have stuff in Telegram, totally active, always have mods, you know, be blasting off, you know, your own, like, branded, you know, branded materials and things like that, like stickers, like animated stickers with your icon and stuff like that. And then that leads me to like the logo, right? Like, the logo is so incredibly important in a meme coin, because it's the thing you see and no one cares. Like, especially in type one meme coins, that's what's going to sell it. That and the name. Like, I bought a coin the other day. It was called Zero Utility Garbage Zug. And it was just like, everybody was like, it took off. It took off for 3 days. It took off. But that's good for a pump.fun token, right?
That's really good.
Like, that's a win. And then it rugged at the end, because that's what happens. But that's okay, because that's that type of meme coin, right? So Zero Utility Garbage, the reason why it took off is that meta is great. We all understand, like, there's nothing behind this. Like, there's nothing. There's a little bit of like liquidity you've added, and that's it. That's where the value comes.
It delivered so what it really promised. Yeah, like, that one delivered what it promised.
Yeah, it's like this is a no fail. And that leads us to the next thing, which is the narrative, right? So like all of those narratives really pick up. So one thing you want to keep in mind is like if you're launching something, and a lot of times this is short term too. Like you want to pick up on a trend, like Goat token. If you guys haven't heard of Goat token, go and look it up. But Goat token had a very specific like terminal looking image, like terminal, like computer terminal. And so like tokens like that started taking off and shooting through the roof. And, you know, so like you want to latch on to some meta if you're doing a short term one. But if you're doing a long term one, a lot of it's going to do with community building. Some of it's going to do with luck. Mm-hmm. And that one needs to look unique and totally new.
Yeah, I have a friend who is a prolific whiff holder, dog whiff hat, and, you know, I love that because you never forget the meme narrative because the hat stays on.
Yeah.
And so he's literally taking it to the next level because he won't take a hat. Like, when I see him, he won't take a hat off. Like, he won't take his hat off. He's like, the hat stays on.
Yeah, that's
dope. This is his real life. He's just taking the meta to the next level.
That's
where
great.
I'm like, I know you.
Cyberspace.
Exactly. I know you are a holder of whiff because you remind me that every time you don't take your hat off in my presence that you're like, the hat stays on.
The hat stays
on. Like, okay.
It's the reason I'm a billionaire. I'm keeping this shit on.
That's one of my favorite memes of the meme coin. And also, speaking of icon, so cute. Little Shiba Inu with a little knitted hat.
Yeah, it's the cutest thing ever.
That's all you need. Like something catchy. Like the meme itself, when you first hear it, you're like, that's really stupid.
Yeah.
But then it like catches like fire. If you have the conviction, like especially my friend, like if you have the conviction to never take your hat off, that's it. You've got an unforgettable winning meme. And
you deserve that island that you
bought. Dog with hat is one of my favorite meme coins.
Yeah, I sold a little bit of my dog with hat. By a little bit, I sold a lot. And I don't know how I feel about it yet. I don't know if I made a mistake or not. I hold my Pepe. I still hold my Pepe. I think that's going to boom through the cycle. But anyway, we're not into price prediction right now.
We're not going to do price prediction. Yeah, my friend's a big Pepe holder too. He's like, it's just a prolific. I like admire his, portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? He's been called an idiot for so many times.
A couple years ago, I was like, bro, what?
What are you doing, bro?
He's like, trust me.
Yeah.
And you know what? He trusted himself and the universe and whatever other information he has because he's just holding.
That's some godly stuff right there. I'm going to bless you with $1 billion for holding this ridiculous meme coin.
You have to have a heart of steel to go
straight
through that.
Up.
A stomach of steel. Like,
or go to bed early one day. Straight up.
And mistrading? No.
Dude, like Terra, I put, 300 in Terra? No, I put 300 in Terra. Right before the Fed announced the tragedy of like the coin and the USDT and all that stuff, I saw this little blood red streak. I put it in there. I left it overnight. I woke up in the morning and I was like, holy shit, man. Like the amount of money that was there, like sustained me for a little bit. It was pretty cool. It provided a couple, you know, nice vacations and
the
whatnot.
The upside of taking a risk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, put in 300 on 20x leverage and letting it ride overnight, like all of it, not even a portion of your portfolio. Like you put the entire fund account into one trade. So if it moves up, like if it moves down 5% or up 5%, you're liquidated. You lose it all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's degenerate shit.
That's some risky shit. So yeah, that's why I'm like, you are the meme coin king. I am but a mere observer, an anthropological observer, and I only participate so that I understand more.
Yeah, facts, dude. I mean, there's some stuff that I won't even touch anymore, but which leads me to like the next thing, which you want to avoid when you're launching your meme coin, and that's overpromising. This is a really, really important. All these are really important. This is legally important. So like if you do this part right, chances are you're never going to have a problem, okay? If you overpromise and don't deliver anything, or if you promise like returns, Like, if there's certain phrases that if you say,
no,
or
you
document it, or you do whatever, you will get arrested if someone finds out, or if it's big enough that, you know, not someone finds out, if someone really wants to do that and take it to that level. So you really need to not overpromise. So if you put a roadmap out, try to stick to it. Sometimes people don't fully stick to it. That's okay, because you're a project and you're going to pivot and do different things. Just keep your community informed. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing, is you want to be honest with your community. Let them know what's going yes. on. If things are delayed and they're not going to launch for a little bit, let them know. Always keep some stuff.
Totally.
You know, like Telegram's really important. Like keep your important stuff pinned in the Telegram chat, CA, stuff like that. All that stuff that you want. So yeah. That's really kind of really important.
I would say sometimes some people are nervous to go to their community when they should actually be more transparent with them. So hopefully we are urging people to like communicate with their community a little bit earlier, a little bit sooner than
yeah,
or a little bit more often. Just being transparent really, really helps, especially
yeah,
with the
and
trust.
This is a really important part for the type two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not
exactly.
So much type one. They don't really
care.
Oh,
no, nobody cares.
They just want to make sure that you have some of them don't even care if you have socials.
Yeah.
Like, they just care how the chart's performing. Like, there's a whole thing. We don't need to go into that. That's too weedy.
Yeah. Well, people make and lose fortunes on meme coins, right? Like, my friend has been so blessed with, I don't know, just absolute pure gut instinct on some of these, you know, big wins
crazy.
That he has. But now that you've kind of like broken down what to look for in avoiding some meme coins, like what do you look for? What are not necessarily you, but what are some key factors that one can look into before kind of deciding to invest in one?
Yeah. So I think narrative is really important. Like I said mm-hmm. before, the first thing
if you laugh,
is narrative
you buy.
And the hype that it's getting. Yeah. And the hype that it's getting, right? So does it resonate with like pop culture, right? Mm-hmm. Does it mm-hmm. even more important than pop culture sometimes is does it resonate with crypto culture? Does it mm-hmm. resonate with the most recent trends? Things like that, you can pick up on trends. Again, you know, there is value in being original and unique, and there's also value in catching a trend and riding it. Like there was Trump coins were really, really big. Anything with Trump coins was really, really big for a while. And that was leading up to the election. And then Kamala mm-hmm. coins were really, really big. And that's when they started to get like closer and Biden dropped down and all that stuff. And like the chaos.
I made money off Bowdoin.
Dude, like, I don't know. There's so like that type of, you know, meta is what would really drive. So you want to make sure that you've got you got your foot on the pulse, your finger on the pulse, rather, your foot on the pulse. That's another one. Footcoin. I saw Footcoin just pop up again.
To the moon.
To the moon. Foot to the moon. Lego.
Foot to the moon. That's the one popping after it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, right? Like, paint those toes. Paint them nails, bruh.
Okay, it's too real. It's getting too real. I'm no longer enjoying this narrative.
Stinky feet. All right, community engagement, right? So community engagement yeah. is really important, like we said before. Because if you got really good community engagement, you got some solid volume, the charts are going to look better. They're going to know that they're established for a little bit long term, at least. So if they ape in, they know that it's going to be around in a few hours. It's hopefully around for a few days. So you want to make sure that, you know, there's some hype around it. And if you are starting to really hear about a coin, like SafeMoon, we were really hearing about before it even launched. If you're starting to hear stuff before a coin launches from multiple people and they're like really, really, like that's when you ape. That's when you ape into some stuff. And that's when you can put, again, always put what you can afford to lose in. But if you got a lot you can afford to lose at that time, and you're going to do this anyway, that's when you do it, right?
Never financial advice, always meant for entertainment.
D-Y-O-R, bruh.
Like, we are heavy on the D-Y-O-R on this episode.
yeah. This is, we're really heavy on the tech on this podcast. This is one of our first episodes, so you'll get to learn that about us. But this one was fun, so we wanted to jump into this.
Meme coins are fun.
And it's really, it is the meta for this cycle, that and AI and stuff like that. So another thing you want to make sure that there is liquidity locked, right?
Yes.
You want to also look at devs. Like on Pump.Fun and like Photon and things like that, you can actually check when a coin is launched. You can see the performance of that developer and like whether their coins have migrated over to Radium or not. And if they are all false, then you don't want to jump into that coin maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're trying to ride a short-term pump and you see the chart and it looks kind of cool, you could ape in. You might lose your money though, like all of it. Like you really do lose all your money on these Pump Fun tokens. This isn't like WIF where it goes down 30% and you still have like 60%.
No, they're totally liquidated.
Not like that. It's gone. The line is red. Like, that's it. So
red and straight down.
Again, that is, it's very, very scary to watch. So, you know, a dev being doxed is really helpful. So again, these are like type two. Those are the ones you really want to ape in with money if you're going to do it. Again, not financial advice. So look out for devs, make sure the devs are cool. You want to check smart contract security. You want to make sure that the token can't be locked because, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll manipulate the chart with bots that look like, okay, cool. Like it's like recognizably like you're going to make money if you put money in down here because the chart has done this forever. Those are like honeypots. So like if you buy in, you will lose all your money because they don't let you sell. So like the smart contract is built so that you can't sell. So basically they rug everybody. That is stealing, right? That's not
literally
even just rugging the project. That's stealing. Yeah. No matter where you are, that's illegal. Even on a Pump.Fun token. So don't do that yourself and also watch out for it, right? Always check. And there's checkers on these pieces of software where you'll buy meme coins. And we'll talk about those in a little bit. I'm not going to dig into tons of detail, but we will show you if you're on video, we will show you the platform. If we're on audio, we will talk about it in a way that you don't need to see the video. So that's really important. So make sure that your smart contract security is done. So trading volume is another thing. Low volume means low interest and higher risk, right? And also low volume typically means that there's few holders. And if there's few holders, someone likely has the majority of the supply and they will probably dump on you, especially because if there's no volume, they're going to get bored.
They're going to be like, never mind.
Yeah. Never mind.
Let me try foot with polish coin.
Yeah. Yeah. Nail polish coin. Oh, man. And you can look for, you know, pullbacks in the market and things like that with legitimate memes. But with these Pump.Fun things, it's really hard to tell. It's basically gambling. Look for projects where influencers are talking a lot about it. Sometimes that'll get you in trouble because like with Hawktua, like that didn't work out too good.
No.
And again, you don't want to stay in these things. Even if there's a ton of influencers that are talking about it, even if the project goes legit, even if it does really well, most meme coins, 99.9999 recurring percent go to zero. Even
that
the
is
good
the
ones.
Sad truth. Like, that's the sad truth. Yeah.
It is. Even the good ones, even really good ones. So like Pepe is not one of those, right? Doge was not one of those. WIF, so far, not one of those. That hasn't been around a ton. But when the market crashes, they do go to zero. And SHIB, another one that hasn't crashed, right? But they do go down faster and further than Bitcoin, faster and further than ETH. Most of you watching
way
this
more
podcast
volatile.
Probably know all that.
Way but, more volatile, so that, yeah.
Yeah. So you want to be in early or during a pullback for type two. Right? Is it relevant to pop culture? We talked about that. And then how much are you willing to lose is a really big, important part of this. And we kind of talked about that as well. So what, Jack, what are your thoughts on kind of what we've gone over so far? And what would you like to like add in?
So like a lot of the points that you mentioned are like very, very much like doing your due diligence on any project, right? Like it matters a lot more if you're putting in your money, but like a lot of this is due diligence in general with most of these, like developer credibility. And like, obviously if you're looking to invest in a meme coin, looking at the liquidity pool, like is that community real or is it botted? Obviously, like, the narrative is super important and the timing is important and, like, all of these things, like, how long can this meme last? Is this meme going to be a week-long meme or is it going to be 4 days in and out? I think those are some really important things, and, like, obviously not putting in more than you can afford to lose, because you should just assume that you're going to lose everything that you put in, and then anything you don't lose is a bonus. It's exactly. It's a real fun way to think about. It's like the total opposite of what people think about with crypto.
Yeah.
I think, because they're usually, when you get the I work in crypto, people are like, what coin should I buy? And I'm like, that's not how it works. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a lot more than just me telling you all the answers. It's like you have to understand a lot of different things.
Right.
You kind of mentioned things like whale protection and all of that. So I would love if you like kind of went in a little bit more about that, because I think some people may not understand exactly like what that may mean in terms of like not just liquidity but also token supply and how that affects it. And this is again type two coin launch.
Yeah, so whale protection is important because early on when you're launching a coin, again, if you have like a pre-sale, it's really important for pre-sales, like really really important for pre-sales, not so much for launch. Like when you do a pre-sale, basically, I'm not going to go into what a smart contract is because I'm assuming you guys know what it is, right?
We're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's too much of a thing. We'll do a TikTok short about that. But so basically, when you're building the token out and you're building the smart contract for the token, what you want to do is you want to build in the ability, and there are like plug and play tools that make this very, very easy. Like they have this setting on it if you're going to use like a UI to do it. If you're going to launch your own, you just program it in. But basically what it allows you to do is on your site where you're doing the pre-sale or however you're doing the pre-sale, it basically builds in protection against people buying too much of the supply, because if that happens, then people dump too early. Again, locking the tokens for a period of time is good, just like with legitimate projects. I mean, some meme coins are legitimate, but like, you know, like Polygon, for example, like there's a token locking mechanic, you know, like you can't, you know, early investors can't sell for that. Solana still has that, you know, like it's Sui, all of them, they have this as well. Mm-hmm. It's no different for meme coins.
It's pretty standard practice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like basically you build that into the smart contract, and typically you want to keep it, you know, like $40, $50, 100, 200. It all depends on the supply and how much liquidity you've locked. Like liquidity is really important. And a lot of people, we're going to bring this up now, because if you aren't a big meme coin person, I'm going to give you a tip quickly. This is really important, is when you buy a coin, you don't necessarily know that when you sell it, you're only going to get half of what it's worth in your wallet. If there's really low liquidity on a coin, say it's $1 million market cap, but there's $100,000 in liquidity, right? That's a 10x market cap to liquidity ratio. So basically, when you sell that coin, it's at $1 million market cap. So you would assume, and you own 10% of the supply, let's say that, which you would think that that's a massive amount for someone to hold, though. So like this is just hypothetical. So say you own 10% of a coin that's worth $1 million market cap. When you go to sell that 10 million, you're not going to get 10 million for it, because the liquidity is so low that the price that you're going to get in, the market makers are going to have to allow that specific price to make sure that anyway, that's just how it works. You're not going to get a ton of it if there's low liquidity. For high liquidity tokens like Solana, ETH, all that stuff, when you see that amount in your wallet, you're going to get that amount for the most part, minus slippage. But with these meme coins, like you need to go in knowing that if there is low liquidity, when you sell, you're not getting the full amount in USDC or USDT or US dollars that it shows. And if you're using US dollars, which a lot of the world does use.
That's a good point, because I think a lot of people maybe don't know, like this episode's really geared towards people who want to get started in meme coins, kind of like talking about the different things that it takes to launch a meme coin. So maybe if people are ready to launch or trade, what are some, besides having all of this base knowledge that you've just dropped on all of us, what are some tools that you would need that are like essential to getting started?
Yeah, so I think there's a bunch of different tools. I'll talk about like three of them right now. There's two really big ones that we've got going on right now. Obviously, we mentioned Pump.Fun. I'm not going to go into Pump.Fun right now. I'm going to go into what happens after Pump.Fun. So I'll share my screen here for you guys, and you can take a look at kind of what's going on with these coins. So if you take a look at the screen over here, and for you guys on audio, what I've pulled up is Photon. It's a trading platform for meme coins specifically. And as you can see over here, and if you can't see it on audio, what's happening is there's a bunch of coins that are launching right now, right now. So as you can see here, and as you can hear here, the coins are launching constantly. This one's 5 seconds old. This one's 6 seconds old. This one's 7 seconds old, 2 seconds. There are billions and billions of coins being launched. So some tools that you can use on Photon, which is a trading platform for this stuff, you have a new pairs area. You have trending tokens on these platforms. That shows you ones that have high volume and that are getting a lot of traction. It doesn't mean that they're safe. It just means that it's getting a lot of traction and there's stuff. By the time you check on those and click on the tab that says trending, it may not even be trending anymore. It may have rugged. It may have done whatever. And then you have typically like a meme scope or a pump vision area. I'll go over to BullX next. BullX and Photon are two similar platforms, but this is where the pros, I guess, much as you can call
the
someone meme coining tro, a pro, this is where the degenerate gamblers go to trade these things. There is a method to the madness. Like if you do all of the things that we've talked about, you'll probably only lose like, I don't know, 10% of what you put in.
There is a method to the madness. My friend, like I said, I have a friend that is a prolific degenerate. And yeah, I would consider him a pro.
Right. And he probably loses more than he wins. But if you get a big win, you kind of offset it. So
it offsets.
That's
yeah.
something that's kind of that's kind of crazy about the space. So you'll always have a place where you can like see your orders, you can see your holdings, or you can see your leaderboard. But if you click into coins on some of these platforms, most of the time you'll see transaction history. And that's really important to kind of like take a look at volume, take a look at who's buying, take a look at whether they're like whales, minnows, shrimp. A lot of times they'll have icons that kind of show you what how much they bought and like how much they hold. Total Solana, the price of the Solana that's being bought, the amount in the actual token that's being bought, the price, you know, whether it was a sell, whether it was a buy, your typical stuff. And then you have your like your own holdings. If you're on video, you can see that a lot of these that I've got that I put together for this show, like you see this one went down by 100%. This one went down by 16%. That one went up by 600%. There's a couple that went up by 100%, 200%, stuff like that. But for the majority of these things, you're losing until you hit a big one, right? Unless you're some sort of savant, and there are those people out there. Also, you want to look at top traders. That's another thing you want to kind of look at and see, you know, how much did someone make? Like on a coin like the one that we're looking at here, the profit and loss of this coin has only been 58 cents in profit. So something like that does not have traction. Again, holders are really important. So you can take a look at what percentage each person owns. The liquidity pool typically is listed over here as well. And when you take a look at that, you want to see whether, you know, the amount is locked. How much of it is locked? And then second thing you want to check is the dev wallet. What percentage of the dev wallet hold, or what percentage of the token supply does the dev wallet hold? Typically, you want all insiders to be under 15%, or at least that's what these platforms, you know, outline as kind of lower risk. That is true, but that also gets us into a thing called bundling. Bundling is where the same person uses multiple wallets, or like a bot that uses multiple wallets to purchase more supply. So it only looks like the dev bought 2% of the supply, but the dev used other wallets to purchase a ton of stuff. So a good tool that you can use to check that is Trench Radar. And BullX actually has a section where you can check and see what percentage is bundled. But if you take a look at the screen here, and I'll explain it for you guys on audio, the percentage that this is bundled is 67%. Mm-hmm. That's a crazy amount. That means that the person who launched it or the insiders own like all of it. If they sell, it's all gone. Like your money is all gone. One line to the bottom, blood red, game over. So you definitely always want to check to see if stuff's bundled. BullX does a good job with that. Discord bots. You can get Discord bots where you can basically type in token addresses and it'll kick back the percentage that's bundled and stuff like that. And then, you know, you can check your orders on these platforms and then check where the dev has done, you know, some good launches or some bad launches. In this example, there's only one launch, but in some it'll show whether it's migrated.
Multiple launches.
It'll say true or false for migration. And the more that they've had migrated means the more that have been successful. This is all pretty much for type one, high risk, crazy risk meme coins. So another platform that you can use is BullX. BullX also has the same things pretty much. They have a thing called NeoVision, which basically just shows you the new coins that have launched as well, but they're usually pump.fun based. And they'll give you a little bit of a preview of the actual charts there. And when you see certain chart configurations, you can kind of surmise whether or not these are legitimate projects, or at least have potential for the next 5 to 10 minutes and maybe a day. Again, this stuff doesn't last very long. It really doesn't. Which kind of mind boggled me at the beginning when I first started trading. So that's a little bit about kind of the super degenerate portion of this trading stuff. And, you know, just be safe and realize that before you learn how to do this stuff or ever even figure it out, you're going to lose money, a lot of it.
Totally. Whether it is you're just learning or just getting started, you should expect this.
Yeah, dude. Like, for real, for real. So, like, with the trading, I mean, it's usually good to start with maybe like a Sol and one Solana, and then like just break it down into little buys and see, you know, test things and see what works for you. Just ultimately, you got to do a lot of research. There's a lot to look through, and there's a lot of people that are really good at this that have been doing it for a while, that have all the tools. They know how to snipe things. They've got faster things. They got more capital to work with, which means they can afford the bribe fees and they can pump it up and down. You know, you can get someone that does a liquidity sweep on this stuff, puts $60,000 into a token and wipes out everybody with one buy, right? And that's, you know, one buy, then one dump, and they just nag up all the liquidity. It's basically what, you know, big hedge funds are doing on, you know, a Bitcoin, but this is just a microcosm of markets there. Anyway,
there's a lot to dig in there, and you kind of like went through a bunch of different scenarios where are kind of like, what these are like your main tools then that you use to check
trade
on MemeCoin for trading. So how do you check on the performance? Like, what are you watching for as you're figuring out what you're doing with trading? Is it all of these things, or is there anything else that you kind
it's
of like?
All of those things. Not one of these things will tell you everything. You need to make sure that all of those things align. And then there's also, after you looked at these charts, like if you want to do this and you look at these charts 12 hours a day while you're doing other work or whatever it is, like,
yeah. And then like after you're done with your eyeballs like bleeding, then you should go look at the community and see if there's actually community.
You got to have these blue light glasses. For those of you on audio, I have these really nerdy blue light glasses. You want
those. I'll pull mine out later.
You definitely want those. Yeah.
But I think like the other thing, like if you're launching, this is like primarily for type one, which I think some of these things can be applicable to the type one and type two. The other thing that I would say that if you're looking to buy more legitimate, more long-term meme coin is looking at their community. So I think that is something that is worth evaluating, especially if you're looking to invest in something that maybe will go a little bit longer, like a Whiff, Pepe. I think Turbo had a moment for a minute, but like something that's going to last more than a couple of minutes. So
yeah, I think, yeah. You know, I'd love to hear your thoughts, like, after I give a few things, because you've built massive communities. You were the head of community at Polygon. You've worked with multiple big DAOs, you know, like, just that's kind of where you love being in that space.
I know so, people.
Yeah, you be doing
I know
things.
Their nature, yeah. Which is why I also know their dark nature, too, right?
Yeah, where there is light, there is dark, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, what are some of the things that you kind of like look at when you're looking at these communities? And then I'll kind of like add my thoughts to that.
Yeah, so you really want to have ones that like have active people, like you, like multiple mods is good. That means that they've invested time, and that means that like the team is interested in doing stuff. Mm-hmm. You want to listen to their messaging and like what they're saying and how they're talking about the project. Like if they're talking about being Diamond Hands and really doing it, and the project's been around a little bit more than like maybe a day, and you're really hearing that a lot, that's usually a good sign. You always want to be checking, you know, EtherScan and stuff like that to see what tokens is there, or SoulScan, to make sure that community is really vibrant to like verify that stuff. But it really comes down to a lot of how the devs are talking and what they're doing. And, you know, do they have active engagement on Telegram, or are they bots that are just liking their posts and stuff like that? Like,
you can, like, is it the community talking to each other? Are they chattering at XYZ, or is it like are the founders present? Are the founders even known? Are they anon? Like,
yeah,
you know, things like this I look at. And these are all factors, by the way. They're not like one thing's better than the other.
Right.
Like if there's a totally anon, you know, founder, let's say, that's okay if the community is legit. Like if the community is stepping in and like chattering and like holding and doing all these things, kind of, it kind of feels like it's not so alone. So they've at least invested time into the community to have that be able to happen. So I would say, like, even if the, obviously do your own research, but even if the founders are anon, it doesn't necessarily mean like this project is not, you know.
For sure. I mean, look at Pepe.
Yeah, exactly. You know, things like this.
So the community
is very strong in Pepe. My prolific whiff friend is also a prolific Pepe friend.
Yeah.
So he's just like on all of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I would say like most meme coins, at least the ones that I know of, like mostly everyone congregates on Telegram. I don't think anyone's really doing a lot of meme coin discords. It's mostly Telegram. There's no need for a Discord.
For trading. Discord. Discord's used for like trading and
but
stuff.
But more for trading. Yes,
and
yes,
NFTs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, big time for the NFTs. Yeah. Yeah. I would say like mostly that's the use case for Discord. But like otherwise, most of the communities are congregating on Telegram. Maybe multiple channels on Telegram. But yeah, that's the big tool that I see most people using.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so like then you've got like this Telegram, let's say, with all of these different community members from all over the place. How do you think about time zones? This is something I think about as someone who handles communities on a global scale. How do you think about time zones? Because especially with meme coins, it's all about timing, right? Like getting the trades right, the time right, the buy right. How do you think about it particularly? Because I spent a good portion of my time in Asia last year. And so time zones are totally different. Like the timing is totally different in Asia than it is in the US. And I feel like a lot of it is US based. So how do you think about these things specifically with time zones?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Like if you want benchmarks for where to be and where to make sure that you have like presence and what times you're online or have people engaging in your community and online, you need Asia for sure, 100%. Really anywhere in Asia, maybe not India. India's different. India's a little bit different. Their time zone is a little wonky. So like, and they tend to assimilate to other people's time zones because of that. And they do so much tech heavy stuff. So you don't necessarily need to focus on India. You do need to focus on like Southeast and Northeast. So like Japan, for example, they have regulation and they have a roadmap for how you launch tokens, which is amazing. I think they're one of the only countries that actually has that.
I was in Japan when they launched their white paper in 2023, which was really exciting. So they're actually very pro innovation in terms of crypto, and I think their economy is going to be happy for it in the long term.
Yeah, I mean, just look at their toilets. Like, look at how...
Look at their toilets.
Look at their toilets. Efficient. Like, you can wash your hands in a toilet. And it's perfectly sanitary.
They've got everything figured out in Japan.
Yeah, they really do. Straight up land of amazing tech. So you want to make sure you've got Asia covered because Asia is awesome.
Yeah, and Europe too. I think about these different time zones because I think like not just Europe, not just US, but like Asia, Europe, all these other places.
Yeah.
And then I even think even for the low market cap ones, like, you know, developing nations that maybe don't have as much liquidity, like these are the ones that are open and available to them as meme coins are equal opportunity across the globe.
For sure.
Kind of. They're equal opportunity to rug.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they could change some people's lives. I mean, I'm sure.
Totally.
They do change people's lives.
They do.
For sure.
Especially if you know, like someone early gets in from like a, let's say like a Vietnam or something like that, Thailand, you know, yeah. these currencies can be astronomical if people do the timing right in some of these countries. So I think that's an exciting possibility. It's a slim chance or possibility, but I do understand and recognize that when you do have a global community, be as fair as possible with timing, with calls, with all of these things. So I just wanted to ask about the time zone thing because I know that meme coin trading is very reliant on time. So let's like talking more a little bit about the risky sides of things, how do you identify when a project is maybe has some red flags for a rug pull?
Yeah. So I'm just going to go quickly through that. I'm going to go quickly because we've touched on a lot of them. But
yeah.
Some of these, like just to wrap it up for you guys so that you have very concise like points to look out for. You've got use bundle checkers. Right?
Uh-huh.
Trench radar, that stuff to make sure that too much isn't bundled. Wallets with the same number of tokens, those typically, like if you're looking at transactions or holders specifically, like wallets that have the exact same number, some random weird number, like 1.2% of the supply, 1.2% of the supply, 1.2% of the supply, you can tell just by looking at the holder count that is pretty much bundled, or that's the team account. Again, if it's a type one, that's a red flag. If it's a type two, it's not necessarily a red flag if they have it in their roadmap. Like this percentage is held. And then you can check what percentage they've said is held in those wallets. And you can see it on Dex Screener and you know, all the other stuff. No socials or website, red flag. Low volume,
we don't want to do
red
that.
Flag. No LP burned, liquidity pool burned. Red flag. Percentage of top holders. You don't usually want that above 15%. Red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Checking on projects the dev has launched. That's another thing to make sure if none of them have migrated. Red flag. And healthy looking charts. Like if you've looked at charts, like if you look at Solana, if you look at Bitcoin, if you look at Ethereum, even if you look
at
like Pepe and Whiff, like there are things that you can see in the chart that like they are healthy charts, right? They're not all the way going down, you know, they didn't have a massive pump and then a dump and they're two thirds down the way. Like usually a good chart will have like a third of the way pull back early on and then it'll go again. And maybe like that turns down to a sixth of a pullback and that's on its way up. So if you can catch it during one of those initial pullbacks, sometimes that's a good way to do it. But yeah, those are the main things that you want to. Those are the main things that you want to look out for.
Awesome. That's amazing. I think I'm going to recap a couple of points just so that people have a understanding of like what to do in terms of meme coins. If they're like super brand new, I think I want to continue to reiterate that you should expect to lose money. It is part of the learning. It is skin in the game. Do not put more than you can lose because you should expect to lose money. Never, ever, ever, ever put more than you can afford to lose. Because again, I want to reiterate, you should expect to lose money. All of this stuff is used that we just kind of mentioned is for research purposes so that you can do your own research, but so that you know what to research before you start to invest. And like some of the safer choices, I should say, would be like those blue chips, the Whiff, the Pepe. Honestly, I'm going to throw Bitcoin in there, not Bitcoin BTC, Bitcoin Harry Potter Obama Phronic 10. You know, like some of these ones that have been around for a while that are not really going anywhere, that like retain a strong community, that do all of these sort of type 2 type activities, I'm going to call them. These are the ones that will help you understand what meme coins are and what their volatility is, what a community is like with them. And I think like that'll help you learn more about crypto culture, specifically the DeGen portion of it, a very fond place in my heart. But I would say like also if you want to like dive in and get your feet wet with something weird and new, you know, pay attention to pop culture and see if there's any weird memes popping up that you can jump on and get early on. You know, like, again, none of this is financial advice. All of this is for educational and entertainment purposes. But these are some ways that you can start to get involved in meme coins. I think, like, to wrap up, I have one more question for you, Brett, because we've talked a lot about, like, the preparation, the history, all of this stuff. What about the future of meme coins? Like, there's a lot of AI agent activity going on. There's a lot of like weird regulation stuff. Like, what do you think the future holds for meme coins in general?
Yeah, I think this the question that's on a lot of people's minds, mm-hmm. specifically this one, because a lot of people have made a lot of money and a lot of people don't want to see them go away. I liken it to the ICO era, but back then people didn't really understand blockchain technology, especially right like regulators, and they just like kind of banned it, those things right away. I think that, you know, I'm not going to get into politics, just a FYI, like anything that's said here is completely free of bias. It is factual based. It is not, you know, our political views are not involved in any way, shape or form, but I'll just kind of give you the kind of the facts as they stand now. So U.S. regulators have traditionally in the past kind of had a pretty hardcore stance against crypto in general. So if that current kind of administration had continued, I think that meme coins would be kind of like top of the target list in a lot of ways, except for the fact that they don't really affect institutions and banks. So, and that's a primary concern of like governments, right? So meme coins are kind of like this annoying little gnat that's over there, but it doesn't really affect us. It just affects people that think they're going to get rich quick off of stuff, and most of them just lose everything. So while it is harmful maybe towards retail, those types of projects, that's not necessarily regulators' top concerns. You know, stable coins, I think, are really,
thing. Concerned about that.
Yeah, like in the U.S., especially with U.S. dollar dominance and things like that, and de-dollarization. Mm-hmm. Like those are things at top of mind. You know, I think Trump has been pretty pro-crypto. Because mm-hmm. you don't know who Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is the president of the United States elect coming in. If you don't know who Donald Trump is, I would recommend that you go back into a coma.
Lifts your rock up and look around. And,
yeah, just take a quick look. And so regulation is definitely going to have a big effect on this space, right? I think that this current administration may be a little bit more standoffish. And here's why it's not necessarily 100% gambling. When I was a head of design over at CBS Sports, I was the head of fantasy. So I worked a lot with kind of gambling, betting and odds. Mm-hmm. And I had to work very closely with legal on that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of a fine line between gambling and games of skill. So like in
they
some
don't know
areas,
that this is skill though.
But there could be an argument made that there's TA involved in it and some like stuff like that. So if you got a really good lawyer that can like spin that, and it went to the Supreme Court and like, you know, like five of the Supreme Court judges like meme coins and held Pepe, they felt like maybe that would work.
You're not holding Pepe.
But yeah, you know, I mean, chances are it's going to get regulated. It may get regulated mm-hmm. completely out of existence. People, you know, governments don't typically like you printing money, and if they can stop it, they will. They couldn't stop Bitcoin, so like, I don't know, like they kind of just got to deal with it. So maybe it'll disappear entirely. That would be kind of sad because I do think that they can generate wealth for people that otherwise couldn't. But they can also steal money from people that can't afford to be stolen from.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's a double-edged sword. So karmically speaking, I don't know where it sits on that on that spectrum. I do think that meme coins currently will will kind of integrate, you know, gamification, staking rewards, even DAO governance. Those are things that are traditionally been held through utility tokens and things like that. Tokens that like have legitimate use cases or like are promising legitimate use cases in a lot of cases. And, you know, meme coins haven't necessarily been used for like staking and DAO, stuff like that. That's not as prevalent. I think it could, because I also think that that could fight somewhat against the regulation that it actually has some usage, even if it's just being said and not necessarily implemented yet.
That's most DAO tokens.
Facts. No, facts. I mean, some DAO tokens.
From DAO moment.
I'm not going to crap.
Most DAO tokens. That's my job to crap on DAOs. Yeah, no, yeah, I love them.
I mean, some DAO tokens are just literally there so that they do like, you know, like a
look,
collab.
I'll just say this about the DAO space. We're figuring it out. Sure. Is there anything else that you'd see in the future of meme coins specifically?
Yeah, I think that meme coins have historically provided experimentation. And I think that that's important for the space moving forward. They don't get regulated out of existence, I think that that will continue to evolve. Things like SafeMoon, where they kick back liquidity or the sales taxes to holders or to organizations that they were trying to help and benefit, like that type of stuff could continue to evolve. You know, we've got things like flash loans and traditional crypto markets. Funny to say traditional crypto markets now. Isn't that nuts?
We're at a weird point in life,
For real.
And we've seen a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a fun ride. I think that's pretty much covers it for today on stuff that, you know, would be helpful. I'm sure we'll have follow-up episodes on meme coins for you guys.
Things are going to still continue to, are still going to continue to evolve. I think for me, the future of meme coins, where I think it's really interesting, is like these AI agents that are they have a couple different functions, right? Sometimes they're just launching coins, sometimes they're interacting. I've seen the integration of like Clanker and Bonsai using these mechanisms to like bring a level of social into the meme coins that we haven't seen before. So like specifically, I was thinking about like the Bonsai agent that has like its own AI agent you could talk to, where if you interact with it, it also like tips you in Bonsai. So I thought that was really interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting in that like maybe there's going to be more possibilities where social and AI meme coin traders kind of like intersect. So I'm really interesting to see that flesh out. It's like really, 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 really brand spanking new. So I can't really like speak one way on it or another, but I think like that the future of meme coins in that direction, in a social direction, is really interesting to me, especially knowing that like natively TikTok memes were turning into soul coins, you know, coins on souls. So what's going to be the possibility of Clanker on Base, of, you know, Bonsai and the Lens Network? So I think we're just scratching the surface on this, but I think any way that shows the use case or upside of crypto, I'm super excited about. So if it's an intersection in SocialFi, let it ride. Let it rip.
Ride.
I'm all about the experimentation. And you're right. These coins are like the purest form of crypto, maybe in some weird way.
Yeah, for sure.
So it really is like all about experimenting and like, you know, it's inherently financial and like, let's maybe lean into. But yeah, all of this, let me wrap this up to say, none of this was financial advice. All of this was meant for entertainment and education, and hopefully those things were accomplished in this episode. Brett, you are a prolific degen, and I salute you.
Thank you. And on that note of entertainment, we will be back next week with a new podcast. Please follow us at Jack Vodka, at Lindstrom Create, and of course, Fish and Chips, at Fish and Chips. Yay. We'll catch y'all later.
See ya.